not tire.
Give me liberty, or give me death!
We will not falter.
And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
And we will not fail.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate.
Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty!
Free at last!
And now, Common Sense makes a comeback. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Peter Heck Radio Show.
I'm just going to say, I'm still looking over all of this, and we will for weeks to come, this situation in Boston and all of that. One of the things that we've commented on this program before is the notorious left-wing bent of the sports media, and that's one that a lot of people don't realize. A lot of people who pay attention to politics and you know, who are aware of political realities, they're more aware of what media bias is. They understand the inherent bias that is in the interpretation of various stories, even of those that you know, attempt to maintain this charade of being objective. I guess what I'm saying is, when you're dealing with somebody who pays attention to talk radio, or even somebody who just pays attention to politics on a daily basis, looking online and all of that stuff, they're aware. You know, I need to be cautious about what I'm listening to and what I just assume. I need to think through this. There are more people who are aware of that than the average sports watcher. The average guy who just watches sports, whether it's golf on television or tennis on television or one of the big three, baseball, basketball, football, if they're sports guys that turn on ESPN, they will get political viewpoints from their hosts. And this is one of the things that I have often said. Sports media is full of left-wing bias. It is written inherently, and it's not always abundantly clear, like on the nose on the end of your face. It's not always like when you're watching and you know, they're doing a tribute to Dr. King, and they get Martina Navratilova on there, former tennis star, who's a practicing lesbian, who comes out and says, you know, that she's fighting the same battle that Dr. King once fought. Well, there's certainly an outrageously offensive statement that ESPN just plays off and accepts and condones. They just go with it. They celebrate it. That's an obvious case of it, where you can clearly see this is political. But what you're seeing right now, if you are paying any attention whatsoever, are some of the basic assumptions, some of the basic biases in the hearts and in the minds and in the pens and in the keyboards of sports media. They are getting an opportunity here to display their bias about all of these things, about it being right-wing extremists who are behind this attack, about just down the list. It's really frustrating. It's really frustrating because if someone on the right was attempting to play politics with this tragedy, it's not a tragedy, with this attack, with this horror, if someone on the right was attempting to play politics with it, well, to a certain degree, you saw that with Laura Ingraham, the radio host, who came out and said, you know, I think we need to think about our immigration policies in light of this bombing and all of that. Well, what are you saying? That all immigrants are going to... People jump down the throat. Why are you in a moment like this trying to talk politics. And yet the left does it with impunity. They do it over and over and over again. It was just before the show, I was looking here at some of the newspapers in the studio, looking at the sports page, in fact. Now, some of it is incisive, some of it's interesting, some of it's pretty gripping testimony from those who were there and, you know, were knocked to the ground by the blasts. Pretty amazing stuff, but then you look at other parts of it, and it's just frustrating. Frustrating to see it, because this is marketing left-wing talking points, left-wing assumptions, left-wing ideas to a... how do I want to put this? To a demographic that is not used to sifting through the bowl of political bias. They're not used to it, and so they're going to easily be manipulated by it, and it's frustrating. All right, anyway, off that topic, talked about tax day a couple days ago, 3 days ago, whatever it was. I was talking about tax day. Do you know that TurboTax, you all get that stuff in the mail, right? TurboTax gets that in the mail, you get that in the mail, and you ought to use this, you ought to go with this for your making your taxes simple. Do you know that just hours before the 1040, the taxpayer filing deadline, like at 11 p.m., TurboTax went offline? It started getting complaints about 11 p.m., said the system wasn't working, and it tweeted out, "We're having problems with TurboTax online. We're in the process bringing back the experience you expect. Updates to follow." About an hour later, TurboTax tweeted, "Good news. TurboTax.com is back online and functional. For those still having issues, please try closing your browser and go back to TurboTax.com in a fresh window." Now imagine, by the way, this is what I always tell students. This is a prime lesson. Yeah, students always wonder, you know, why are you such a stickler on rules? Not just me. They think I'm a pushover. But why are teachers sticklers on rules? Well, because one day it's not going to be a teacher. It's going to be the tax man. And you can't just say, well, my computer program shut down. Why did you wait until the night before? I know some of you had that conversation with your teachers, but so many Americans experienced that with TurboTax. Can I tell you what I think the solution to this is? You know what I think the solution to this is. But it's so abundantly obvious. This is a perfect time to have this conversation. In light of the TurboTax meltdown, which I don't know if it affected you, I can only imagine the frustration. I mean, computers are frustrating enough. But to be in the heat of the tax filing deadline, I mean, we're getting down there to the nitty-gritty. You got to get that puppy sent. And you get this tweet, "We're having problems with TurboTax online." I imagine that there were several bowling words that were shared throughout America about that time. Nonetheless, here's the easy solution. I don't even want to use the phrase, "Let's simplify the tax code." Let's just obliterate the tax code. Let us mangle the tax code. Let us shred the tax code. Let us do things to the tax code that the tax code's mother would never want to hear about. Couldn't stomach to hear about. And what I mean by that, I'm going to go to the Rick Perry philosophy. Now, I know Rick Perry became a punching bag to people, you know, in the Republican Party during the primary, and of course the Democrats as well. They were hopping on everybody who thought they could challenge the one. But Rick Perry became a punchline to some because of his temporary lapse of memory in one of the debates and not being overly articulate and a smooth talker in the other debates. But do you realize how many of Rick Perry's policies are now being considered good policy by conservative leaders? They just now are getting around to saying them. But I want to talk specifically, or mention specifically, Rick Perry's tax plan. He said, "Let's simplify this thing So it's as simple enough to put on a note card. Now, let me just say this to you. If you want to blast Rick Perry for being simple-minded, if you want to blast Rick Perry for not being very bright, isn't that okay? I know it's everything that we think the opposite of, but isn't it okay if he wants things simple? If he wants to keep things simple, does that not work better for us? Those of you that had the TurboTax meltdown experience, would you not have preferred back in January to receive a form in the mail on the size of a postcard that said, put in this line how much you made, put in this line what that means you owe to the government based on this percentage. You owe 15% of your income, so 15% of that number, put that on line two. On line three, tell us how much you had withheld and have already paid. And line four, you put the difference, whether you owe us a little bit or whether you get some back. Then, stick it in your mailbox and return it. You could have done that. You could have done that in, what, 10 minutes? Looking at some forms? You could have done that. Do you prefer the system that is so complicated that you have to buy or receive these huge tax programs online to try to go in and figure all this stuff out and type it all in? And if you try to itemize, merciful heavens, you spend hours upon hours upon hours doing this. And you usually need to hire a team of lawyers to figure it out. And all these people that talk about how we want brilliant individuals and these really, really... Let me ask you something else, just to be completely frank with you. When you were in school and you were working on a project, did you want the really, really, really smart person to be heading up your project? Now, some of you are going to say, yeah, because they'll do it all for me. But if you have to work with that individual, if you have to somehow present what that individual is putting together, don't those kind of people really frustrate you? Because they're thinking on a plane that you're just not on. And you're like, yeah, dude, all that's great, but come on, give it to me in plain English. Most people operate in the plain English realm. I don't think it's a bad thing to have plain-spoken leaders, people like Harry Truman, people like Ronald Reagan. I actually think that works out better for people. I don't know. Give me the Rick Perry postcard tax form over the 1040 any day. And what's with all those numbers? 1040? Is there a 1039 and a 1038 and a 1037 and a 1030? Why do we settle on 1040? There's really 1,040 forms for various taxpayers? Come on. It's like the stuff with this 401k, excuse me, and 403b and 407x and all that other stuff. Come on. Give me retirement plan one, retirement plan two, that kind of. People just wanting to sound intellectual. All right, where am I? Thanks to our friends of Attaboy Productions Incorporated, like those over at Terrell's Auto Service. Perhaps you are rushing at the last minute to get your taxes sent to the post office or taken to the post office. Well, I hope your car was reliable. How awful if you broke down on the way. Could tell you who that doesn't happen to. Doesn't happen to the folks that get their cars tuned up and taken care of. Terrell's Auto Service. Granted, if you haven't tuned up, you probably got an old vehicle. But you know what I mean. Take your car, take your truck, take your diesel, whatever it is that you've got. Get over to Terrell's Auto Service. They'll do work on both. All. Antique cars they'll work on. They know their way around the shop. Good friends of Attaboy Productions Incorporated, Terrell's Auto Service. Also, thanks to our friends at the AFA of Indiana, Micah Clark and the great team at the AFA of Indiana, keeping their eye on pro-family legislation as well as anti-family legislation at the Indiana State House and beyond. Keep informed of all of the issues going on, whether it's life, whether it's marriage, whether it's children and the protection of children, whether it's education, whether it's gambling, all of these issues that have such dramatic effect on the morality of the people. The AFA of Indiana is your voice at the Indiana State House, and they are keeping you informed. join the list of thousands that get their weekly email update. Don't delay. Get to AFAIN.net, sign up for it, and I know you won't be disappointed. Micah turns out some great stuff over there and keeps you very informed and allows you the opportunity to take action on things that are of the highest importance. AFA of Indiana, AFAIN.net. Okay, do you know the name Gabrielle Reese? Talking about family. She's apparently some volleyball star. I just feel like I should know that name for some reason. Well, Gabrielle Reese has infuriated the left. She has infuriated the left by writing a book entitled My Foot is Too Big for the Glass Slipper. Gabrielle Reese dared to address the one topic that more people in our culture are afraid to address than homosexuality, than the ties between homosexuality and pedophilia, than abortion. All of those things combined, she took on this issue. She's getting ripped for it on the left, and yet she's absolutely right. I'll tell you what it is next.